I mean, he's not but 40 feet away from me, but I never look at Sean the entire service. And so he's back there sometimes trying to get my attention on something like that. I never pay attention. So I happen to glance up as I'm reading there, and the lights back there are flashing on and off like, so what in the world is going on? Okay. Let's try it again. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God, this day is really starting off good, isn't it? I wonder where this is going. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, that is, selfishly, lives his life in a selfish manner. That's what he means by sowing to the flesh there. Will from the flesh, from the natural things, reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit lives his life in a godly manner for the glory of God. Will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And Father, we ask you to open our eyes today. Give us understanding of these and all the other scriptures we'll share together today, Lord, to learn spiritual truth, to learn truth about you and about this life and how you want to work in us to change us and change this life for us, for your glory and for our good. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts in this hour. In Christ's name, amen. Got to get off my squeaky spot. There. Okay. So, we want to look at this passage of Scripture today because this passage of Scripture teaches us a spiritual principle, a life principle, if you will, about how to walk in the things of the Lord and see the hand of God moving in our lives. We shared some things with you last week about another principle of life, about how to experience the peace of God in our lives. And we talked about the necessity of, first of all, choosing peace. Sometimes we don't choose peace. Sometimes we choose strife and bitterness and all of these kinds of things instead of peace. We need to choose peace. We need to choose to control the things that we can control, the things that are under our control, under our authority, and stop trying to control the things that are not. All too often we get those things exactly backwards. We try to control people that are not under our authority, and then we don't control our minds, which are under our authority. And we talked about last week how the Bible says we can take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So we need to control what we can control and then trust the Lord with the things that we cannot control. We talked about choosing the way of the Lord because the psalmist said those who choose the way of the Lord will have great peace. And then ultimately we talked about choosing Jesus, because the Bible says in him is our peace. We choose Jesus and he gives us peace because he is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And so today I want to talk about another spiritual principle, another kingdom, if you will. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said to Peter and the disciples, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. In other words, I'm going to show you how things work in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, so that you can apply these principles to your life and experience a kingdom quality to your life. How many of you understand today that so many things in the kingdom of God actually work in what we might consider an upside down way to the kingdoms of this world, to the things of this world and the way things in this world operate? For example, the Bible teaches us clearly that the way for you and I to have victory is to surrender. Isn't that right? We surrender to Jesus, and he gives us the victory over sins, temptations, addictions, problems, everything. He gives us victory. The way to victory is to surrender. The way to become great in the kingdom of God is to make yourself the least. The way you become the highest is to make yourself the lowest. So it seems like it's upside down. It seems like it's backwards. Here's one for you today. The way to freedom is slavery. When you make yourself a slave to Christ and you give yourself to Jesus and you let Him have control as your master, then He gives you freedom in this life. And again, over the things that would bring us down. And on. The way we find life is to lose life. The way to life is death. See. So it all sounds backwards. It all sounds upside down. But today I want to teach about another a kingdom principle, if I can. And the principle, we'll take it here from Galatians chapter 6. We read these verses and we'll look at a lot of others here today as well. But the principle that we want to talk about today is the principle of sowing and reaping. What some people call the seed principle, if you will. Now, when most preachers talk about the seed principle of sowing and reaping, they're talking about money. And I get it. When preachers talk about money, everybody gets nervous. All right? Just relax, okay? Because I'm going to talk about the seed principle. I want to talk about it in a much broader sense than that. And maybe hopefully help you to see how it works in the context of money, because we're talking about it in a broader sense. All too often when preachers talk about giving and sowing and reaping and these kinds of things, people do tend to tune out. But let me just share a couple things with you. First of all, if a preacher is being sincere when he's talking to you about giving and receiving, if he's being sincere, then he's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. You need to hear that. You need to understand that. We're talking about how to get something to you, not get something from you. See, it doesn't matter. You're giving to this church, and we thank God for all of your giving to this church. But look, I don't work on commission. See? Doesn't matter how much you give. My salary's not going to go up. You give a dollar, you give $1 million. My salary is the same. And so we're talking about here today a spiritual principle of the kingdom of God that will open the door to the blessing of the Lord for our lives. We're talking about ways of getting something to us, not trying to get something from you. And you know, we struggle a lot of times, I understand. We struggle. How is it? How can it be possible? The Bible says that those who scatter will increase. Those who scatter will increase. How is that possible? And a lot of times we struggle, well, I just don't understand how that can work. And because I don't understand it, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that till I can understand it. But how many of you would understand today, there are a lot of things that you do in life that you don't understand how it works, but you do it anyway. I guarantee you probably 99% of you have no idea how your car started and ran and got you here this morning. All you know is you turned the key and it started. You pushed the accelerator wheel forward. And you had no idea that about this far from your toes, there were hundreds of thousands of explosions going off. And if those things weren't controlled, you probably wouldn't have toes this morning when you got here. But see, you didn't understand that. You didn't understand how it works. But you just knew it did. How many of you understand how a microwave works? I have no clue how a microwave works. But I know if I push the buttons, it'll come on, it'll heat my food, and I'll be good to go. See? So even though I don't understand it, I still use it. I still don't understand how airplanes fly. How hundreds of tons of metal, and you get it in the air, and it flies. I still don't believe it. Look. We don't understand how things, the computers, your home computer, your telephone. How do I push a picture on my telephone? There's a piece of glass and under it there are pictures. And if I push one of those pictures, I can get information from all over the world. I can talk to anybody who's got another one like it. I can talk to people all over the world on that thing. How in the world does that work? I don't have a clue how it works. I just know it does. And so, you know, thank God we can do these things. Well, we don't always have to understand how things work. in order to just go ahead and do what we know to do to make them work. And if you and I will heed the word of the Lord, where principles of the kingdom of God are concerned, if we just do them, those things will work for us. And we can experience kingdom blessing in our lives. Now, I can't explain to you how the principles of like seed time and harvest work. In fact, Jesus tells us the farmer doesn't even know how the principles of seed time and harvest work. Jesus says the farmer, all the farmer knows is when he throws a seed in the ground that pretty soon a crop comes up and he can harvest it. He doesn't know how it comes up. He just knows it does. So he plants his seed and he receives his harvest. And I can't explain to you how it works, but I want to share this with you today. And again, I'm talking about a broader context than just money. And I want you to get that today. In fact, you see through the course of the message that this is true. We're talking about something greater than money when we're talking about the principle of seed time and harvest. Here's what I want to share with you. The principle of seed time and harvest is the basis of everything. Absolutely everything. Everything that you see in this room, everything that you see outside this room, everything you see in this world, everything that you see came from the principle of seed time and harvest. Every bit of it did. And I'm going to show that to you in just a little bit. Look with me over the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and we'll see how this began in creation, how God built this principle into the creation that he created, and it has always been since the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, we're not, I'm not going to read the whole story of creation, but just a few verses of it to see the principle here. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed. Plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And so it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good." Every plant that God created had seeds so that it could multiply itself and reproduce itself. Everything that we see in creation is born out of the seed principle. Every flower, every plant, every bush, every tree, everything is created with the principle of sowing and reaping built into it for multiplication and increase. Now, I know what you're thinking. Somebody is thinking, yeah, what about seedless grapes? Seedless grapes are a product of genetic engineering. Okay? Actually, it is an interesting story. Did you know that a seedless grape actually has the essence of a seed in it? Somebody discovered these things years ago, and I don't know who it was or when it was or anything, but somebody discovered a grape that didn't have any seeds in it. And they figured out a way to cultivate that thing so that it would reproduce grapes with no seeds. And yet every one of those grapes has the essence of the seed in it. And what has happened is in these seedless grapes is a genetic flaw. And what happened was because of that genetic flaw, the shell that was supposed to form around that essence to make the seed, the hard shell, never formed. It's a genetic flaw that caused that. Somebody discovered it and then figured out a way to reproduce it. And that's how we come to have seedless grapes. In fact, Google this stuff. I'm not this smart. Google this stuff and you'll find it on the internet. You know it's true, it's on the internet. But seriously, if you'll do that, and what I found out is, did you know that most of the fruit that you and I eat today that we buy in the grocery stores is engineered this way? It's not the old-fashioned kind of way that you think, that somebody took a seed and planted it. Most of the things that are grown today come from cuttings and not from actual seeds. Anyway, so much for agriculture. The point is that everything that was created by God was created with seed in it so that it can multiply. Every plant, every animal, every bug, every insect. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about some of those insects, some of those things. Why did you create mosquitoes? I don't understand. I don't understand that. But you know what I believe it with all my heart? I believe they actually had real purpose and value in creation. You know why? Because the Bible says that when God created everything in the original creation, he looked at it and said, it is good. Even mosquitoes had a purpose, folks. Oh, no. I think they're of the devil. I really do. She said, moles. I've got moles in the yard. And I just... See, now look, you got me off base again here. You got me off base. Everything comes from the seed. How many of you understand today that human beings are the product of seed? Every one of us, we're here because of the seed principle. It is the principle of the universe. Salvation. Salvation is the result of the seed principle at work in the realm of the Spirit. Look at the Gospel of John with me in the 12th chapter. Now, Jesus is, in John chapter 12, preparing his disciples for his departure. In fact, he uses this phrase. He says in John 12, verse 23, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, just to tell you what he's talking about there, when Jesus talks about the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified, he's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection, because that's how he was glorified to the Father and to the world, by dying and then rising again. And Jesus said, the time has come for me to be crucified, buried, and rise again. Now he prophesies this in verse 24. He's speaking of himself when he says this, Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He's talking about himself there. He just said in the previous verse, the time has come for me to die. And what he's saying in the next verse is, when I die, my death is going to produce much fruit. Seed time. Jesus is the seed that the Father planted into the earth. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he seeded his Son into the earth, that whosoever believeth in him would be the fruit of that seed that comes forth in the harvest. You see, seed time and harvest. All of creation is built on this spiritual principle. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I can't tell you how it works, but I can tell you why it works. Because God built the principle of sowing and reaping into everything. And that's why we can ultimately get back to talking about finances and see this is how it works. This is why it works. Because God built this principle into everything. 1 Peter chapter 1. Just verse 23, you're kind of jumping in the middle of a sentence here, but just to make the point, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. He says the Word of God is imperishable seed. It's imperishable seed. It never dies. And when we receive the Word of God into our heart, when we receive that imperishable seed into our heart, that imperishable seed gives birth, listen, that imperishable seed gives birth to an imperishable you. And you become alive forever by the seed of the Word of God. The seed principle, sowing and reaping, planting and harvesting. God's word is spiritual seed producing life. Your words, my words, are spiritual seed that can produce either life or death. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 with me. Everything in life works on the principle of the seed, sowing and reaping. All plants, all animals, every created thing works on this principle. God's word is seed that produces life. Your words and my words are seed that can produce life or death. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's your words. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Fruit. Your words are seeds that produce fruit. You and I know this. This is why the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, it's why Paul says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth except such a word that gives grace, that edifies and meets the need of the moment. Paul says, watch what you're saying because your words are seed that produce life or death. So be careful of what you're speaking. You and I know this to be true. We can speak to people in such a way that encourages them, that strengthens them, that builds hope in their heart, that helps them move forward in life. Or we can speak words of death over some people and we can chop them up and we can cut them to ribbons and we can put them down and we can discourage them and we can make people feel worthless and hopeless and useless just by the power of the words of our mouth. Our words are spiritual seeds. And they'll produce life or death, depending on what we're saying and depending on what people are receiving from us. You think your words don't have creative power? Think again. Jesus said our words have power to move mountains. Our words have power to move mountains. Everything works on the basis of the seed principle. Everything, every plant, every animal, every creature, every created thing. Let's go back to those cars that we don't understand and the phones that we don't understand. How many of you know that automobiles and cell phones and home computers and lights and instruments and all of these things, every created thing began with the seed of an idea in a man's mind? And that seed germinated and grew and he thought about it and it came to life and it produced the fruit of a new invention at some point, at some time. Everything comes from the seed principle. Back in 1987, the Lord spoke to our heart about starting a church in November of 1987. He spoke a word. That word was a seed. That word germinated and came to life. And we've been celebrating in this church for 30 years now. What God spoke, the seed that he spoke, produced life in our hearts and manifest as this church. This church is the fruit of the seed God spoke. I remember in the early 90s driving down Timberlake Road. Jim's talking about people needing help. I remember going to a motel and taking some money to people who had a house fire. And this guy is trying to raise his children in a motel room. And I took money to him to pay for a motel room for a couple of nights. And on the way back down the highway, the seed was planted in my mind. The seed was planted in my mind. I'm thinking, God, you know, somebody ought to build something somewhere so that families can have a place to go when they have a fire, when they have some problem, when they have some kind of a situation in the home and they got to leave the house. There needs to be a house somewhere where people can go so they can stay together as families. So the parents are not having to farm out their children and wondering what's going on in their life. Somebody needs to build something, God. And God said, you build it. And God planted that seed in my mind in the early 90s. And a few years later, we began construction on the two houses over across the way. That seed germinated. It grew. And the fruit of that seed is the two houses that we use for fire victims across the way. We got families in both of them, by the way. Have all winter long. We've been helping families over there dozens of years ago. You know what I remember? I remember, Gary, I remember walking over here many years ago. Now, this was before we had our field and the pavilion out here. Most of you know that when we bought all of this and built the church, this was a valley out behind the church. The land, the level land you see out there is because we brought dirt, pulled it in from the backside of the property and filled it in over here. But I remember God speaking, and I remember that when the Lord planted the seed in my mind to have a a place out back where the kids could play, where the church could have socials, where we could have picnics, where we could have a pavilion and do something. And I walked over here and looked out the window one day, and God planted a seed in my mind, and I looked down and I could see the pavilion down there, and I made this comment. There's nothing out there but a valley. And I looked out the window, and I looked out and I said, I can see Gary Fields down there flipping hamburgers. A few years later, the Lord reminded me of that when I was standing under the pavilion watching Gary flip hamburgers. It began as a seed that germinated and came to fruition. The fruit of what God planted was born. Everything works on the basis of the seed principle. Do you guys know what I'm doing right now? I'm planting seeds in your mind as I'm speaking the word to you, with the hopes that the seed will be planted into fertile soil and bring forth fruit unto eternal life, an abundant life in all of us as believers. Paul likened evangelism to sowing seeds. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God brought the harvest. Seed principle. Evangelism is just sowing seed. By the way, we have the easy job. All we got to do is sow the seed. God's the one that's got to bring the crop. See? Well, I don't understand how it works. Frankly, it's none of your business how it works. Your business is to sow the seed. See? That's all God told us to do, sow the seed. Leave the rest to Him. Because you know what? He does know how it works. And He can make it work. We just need to sow the seed. Jesus said the kingdom of God. A couple more verses real quickly. Look over at Mark chapter 4 with me. This is the seed principle, and it is the basis of everything. Of everything. Proverbs chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Got the wrong seed in there. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Mark 4:26. Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. And he says, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Here's the way things work in the kingdom of God. He goes to bed at night and gets up by day. The seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. Farmer doesn't know how. All he knows is when he plants the seed, the harvest will come up. You and I don't need to know how. We just need to be faithful to plant the seed. It's not just about money. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. Relax. The soil produces crop of itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. And when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. The things of the kingdom come to us in this life on the principle of the seed. Jesus said that faith works on the principle of sowing and reaping. In Luke chapter 16, we won't take the time to read it. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 17. Jesus says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, what do you do with a mustard seed? You plant it. You plant a mustard seed, you get a mustard seed bush, whatever the heck that is. I don't have a clue. But I know if you plant one, you're going to get one. Because, I mean, if you know, you get what you plant. I'll talk more about that in just a moment, too. You get what you plant. Faith works on the principle of the mustard seed. Our speaking and our acting, or the way that we plant our seeds of faith to produce the crop that God desires for our life. So much of what you and I experience in life is a result of the principle of sowing and reaping. That's what Paul taught us in Galatians chapter 6. Whatever, don't be deceived, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And so much of what we experience in life is a result of our actions and our words in life. Go ahead and look at Luke chapter 6. And let me read this passage for you. Now, just about everybody who has been to a church, particularly an evangelical church, just about everybody is familiar with Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall come back to you in return. Everybody knows that, and just about any preacher who's ever preached it has preached it in the context of money. I want you to show you this morning that while that is a spiritual principle that applies to finances, what Jesus is talking about in Luke chapter 6 when he says those words has nothing to do with money. Jesus wasn't talking about money when he said that. Read it with me, if you would, please. Luke chapter 6, let's start in verse 31. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. That's the golden rule, isn't it? Heard somebody say years ago, golden rule is not really in the Bible. Yeah, it is, too. It's right there. Right there. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What's he talking about? Sowing and reaping. Seed time and harvest, giving and receiving. The way that you want other people to treat you, you should treat them, okay? If you love those who love you, he says, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners can do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. Verse 35, but love your enemies. Do good and lend expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Pardon, forgive, and you will be pardoned, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you again. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. You hear what Jesus said? He wasn't talking about money. He was talking about love. He was talking about mercy. He was talking about forgiveness. He was talking about treating people decently. Serving other people. He said, when you do this, God will find a way to get blessing back to you. And the same things that you sow will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Love, mercy, forgiveness, kindness. Brother and sister, I'm telling you, the seed principle is the principle of life. It's not just a principle about money. It works for money because it's a principle of life. Everything in life works on the basis of the seed principle. Paul says in Galatians, whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If we sow meanness and anger and strife, division, hatefulness, all of these things, all of these destructive things, we will, from the flesh, reap destruction. You sow destruction, it's going to come back. That's what he's teaching us here. But if we sow love, the things of the Spirit of God, if we serve, if we do good to others, then God will see to it that good comes back to us in whatever form God chooses to bring it back. Let me share just quickly to close three things about sowing and reaping. First of all, Now, this is going to sound silly, but I want you to listen. Number one, you reap after you sow. Duh. Wait a minute. Wouldn't it be crazy if you see a far old farmer, he's sitting out on his front porch and his field is just barren. I mean, there's nothing there. And you went up to the old farmer and you said, well, when are you going to sow your seed? And he said, well, after the harvest comes in. Dude, you ain't going to get a harvest till you sow some seed. You got to get up and do some work. Now that sounds like common sense. But you know what? There are a whole lot of us who are waiting to harvest before we'll plant. Hey, let's talk about money for a minute. The Bible says we're supposed to be givers. Oh, well, when I get a lot of money, then I'll give. You know what you just told me? You're waiting for the harvest before you plant the seed. Let's talk about relationships. Treat others in the same way that you want them to treat you. Help me, Lord. How many husbands and wives are waiting for their spouse to treat them right before they'll treat their spouse right? You just told me you're not going to plant your seed until you first receive your harvest. No. You need to plant some seed. You need to show some love. You need to show some love. Makes a little more sense now, doesn't it? We reap after we sow. Number two, we reap what we sow. No less a person than Jesus Christ said, a good tree does not produce bad fruit, and bad trees don't produce good fruit. And by the way, he wasn't talking about trees. He was talking about people. He was talking about people in the hearts of men. Good hearts produce good things. Bad hearts produce bad things. You reap what you sow. If you sow malice, anger, strife, and division, these are the things that will continually multiply back in your life. But if you sow love and kindness and mercy and forgiveness, yeah, but they don't deserve it. Sow the seed. Don't wait for the harvest first. Don't wait for them to deserve it first. Sow the seed. You reap what you sow. And then the third thing, we reap more than we sow. Give, and it shall be given to you again, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I love that verse of Scripture. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Most of you don't realize that I am the garbage man for Victory Christian Fellowship. I take the trash cans out every Monday night. And it used to be that we didn't put a tag on each trash can down. So we do it now. We put the tag on. We're rich now. We can put a tag on both trash cans. But you know what I used to do when we were having to buy the tag week to week? I still do this anyway just out of habit because I'm cheap, I guess. But anyway, I would come up here on Monday night, and if there was trash in both trash cans, I would get in one of those trash cans and pack the trash down in there just as tight as I could and get all that other trash out so that I had only one trash can to pay for and take to the street so that I didn't have to pay for two and I didn't have to transfer two. I was pressing it down, brother, to pack it in there and get as much trash in those cans as I could. Pressed down. Shaken together. I like Honey Bunches of Oats. I don't know what cereal you like. But I like Honey Bunches of Oats. sometimes my container is not empty when I try to put another box in there. But I figured out if I shake that thing real good, it'll settle and I can get the rest of the cereal. I can get more in there if I shake it up a little bit. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We all know that running over is more than enough. More than what was supposed to go in there. You tried to pour more in there than was supposed to go in there, and now it's running over. And that's the way what we sow comes back to us when we're faithful to have a giving spirit and practice the seed principle. This is how, brother and sister, the generous person becomes prosperous, and he who waters is himself watered. Does it work for money? Sure it does. Why? Because it's a principle for life and everything about it. And Father, we thank you for the seed principle that you've built into creation and teaching us how to operate in it so that we can experience the very most that you have for us as your children as we journey through this lifetime, but also thankfully for the life and for the world which is to come. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of eternity that are pressed down, shaken together, and running over for the children of God. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Well, a little silliness, but that's all right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's stay in an attitude of prayer for just a moment. Let me thank you. I know Gate put out a message on Facebook the other day thanking everybody for the help, the meals that have been taken to the Eubanks home. And I just want to speak on her behalf and thank all of you as well for stepping up and supporting this family and providing them with meals to help them over the last week or so. And if you have opportunity, there's still time to take a meal over to Jeff and Gay. And Gay writes and says that she's doing very well. And even applauded you, brother. She even said Jeff's taking real good. Gee, I think she used the word excellent. I think she said Jeff's taking excellent care of me. So good for you. Good for you, brother. Amen. Planting the seed. There you go. Amen. But seriously, thank you so much for helping this family during these difficult weeks following Gay's knee replacement surgery. You're a blessing to them, and you're a blessing to all of us. We thank you for it. Amen. Bless you, Lord. God, what a privilege it is for me to be able to share the word of the Lord with these precious people that you bring to our church week in and week out. I thank you for the service today, Lord, and I thank you for helping me to share what I believe you put into my heart to share, Father. And I pray that if anything was spoken in error, no doubt something was, because I see through a glass darkly. Father, I thank you that you're able to pluck up those seeds. But the seeds of truth that were planted in the people's hearts today, Father, I thank you for them. And I pray, Lord, you would help us to receive every seed that is truly the Word of God that can transform us and make us and make our lives totally different for your glory's sake. So, Father, again, I thank you for the opportunity to share the Word of the Lord today with these people. I trust they've been blessed by what they've heard today, Father, and I trust that they will meditate on what you have spoken into their hearts until that seed takes firm root and brings forth much fruit in their lives. Thank you for the opportunity to make a difference by sharing the Word of God. Your children, those of your house. And as we leave today, Father, trust that you watch over each of us and deliver us safely to our homes. Over the next few days, Father, should the weather turn bad, that you would keep us, protect us, provide for us, continue to hold us in your hand. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us today and always through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And amen. Let's sing together. We'll be dismissed, and if we can pray with you personally about issues today, as always, if you'll stick around for a few moments, let us say goodbye to people, and we'll pray with you about your needs today. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will stay in your presence day by day till your likeness may be seen in me. One last thing before you go, if I might. I ask you please not to laugh at people who came in late because of the hour and daylight savings time and things like that. And I appreciate you being faithful to that. But look, if you notice somebody that's not here today, give them a call and let them know you missed them at church today and invite them to join you next Sunday. Thank you for being with us today.